A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome back. My name is Chris.
And I'm Steve.
And Andy's still swimming with manta rays and whatnot, I believe.
He's swimming with something down there.
That's,
you know?
That's true. He's eating a lot of seafood. Scallops. Is that a thing?
Scallops are a thing, in fact.
Crab legs, perhaps.
Ooh, quit making me hungry, man. Ooh, I love seafood. Are you kidding?
And this is Streaming Things.
That's what it is.
The number one most grateful podcast. That's something I can scientifically, verifiably say. I'm back. I'm now a father of two instead of just of one. I had the heir to my throne, right?
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm going to have to, was it, do I pay a dowry? Right? Is that how that works when you have a daughter?
I don't know. You're asking the guy who has zero children.
I don't have enough cattle. I don't think she's going to be able to find a good husband.
Oh, you got to get on that.
I do.
You got to get on that.
Anybody that's got a good line on a herd of cattle, email streamingthingspod@gmail.com.
How has been a father been?
It's fatherhood
part two, Electric Boogaloo.
It's been wonderful. I've been listening to the Lord of the Rings re-releases a lot. Those are, if I do say so myself, a lot of fun. Because it's been a year, almost to the day, since we did that. I don't know if you realize that.
Yeah.
Listening to them. So that was kind of neat. But there, I was laughing out loud at us. So that's, I don't know, that might be a douchebag thing to do. I'm not sure. But I listened to that. And my daughter's perfect. She's so healthy. She's beautiful. And really, like, well-mannered for a baby, right? Like, she's well-tempered.
That's good.
Because my son was really colicky. And I remember he was unable to latch. He was born prematurely, so he had like feeding issues, and then the breastfeeding was out, and then the actual formula made him sick. He threw up a lot and stuff. He was always crying and gassy and stuff, so we had to switch to soy formula. And anyway, all I'm trying to say is, like, he was very upset a lot, right? It was very difficult. Whereas Aria, my daughter, pretty much only cries when she's hungry, which is understandable.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I do that now and I'm 34.
Like, she's when she's awake, and she's only like, what, 6 days old. And she just kind of looks around the room and stares. I don't know. And I found out. So apparently babies, they can't really see in the way that you think. Like, their eyes don't work in conjunction and form a three-dimensional image. I don't know how long. I'm not a doctor or even a smart person, but it takes some time. So it's kind of funny, like, to imagine, like, what are you looking at? You know,
what do you see?
What are you looking at? But dogs are really looky too. And I understand their vision's not the best, at least the way that I think of it when I see stuff. So, but anyway, listeners, be warned. Okay. I'm weird as it is, as you know, right? Like, I'm pretty goofy.
What?
I haven't been sleeping much. And so, Steve's going to take the reins on this episode and the other one that we're going to do later as well. Like, I usually take a bunch of notes when I watch these movies, like, scene by scene. I have a whole little method that's I'm pretty proud of. I did none of that because I was holding Aria for most of the time I was watching these movies. And so I did watch them. That's the best I can say.
So are you confirming right now on Streaming Things that Predator and or Prey were Aria's first movies?
What again? She can't see.
If she was in the room with you.
I don't think it was, because I don't think it's the first thing I watched per se. Prey was one of her first movies. It was on Disney. I was tricked. In Canada and Europe, it's Disney Plus that it's on. You know? By the way, Enza was so proud of me on TikTok for pointing out that Disney Plus, that it's on Disney Plus in Europe when I did my Prey review. Mm-hmm. She commented like, oh, what good. Nice little Belgium toss there. But then I had a Canadian that was irate that I said it's on Disney Plus in Europe. And he's like, we're on the same continent, man. What the hell? Why can't you just say, like, he was upset. Like, why can't you just say Hulu in America, Disney Plus everywhere else? And I'm just like, I don't know, man. I'm sorry. And like, so he left multiple comments about that and then like stitched the video and made his own about it, ranting about how Canada was forgotten. So to all the Canadians out there, I meant no offense.
What a weird hill to die on.
Hey man, that's the internet for you. I'm learning, like, the bigger I get, the more I'm learning. It's just a sea of strange hills to die on.
Congratulations, Chris. You've made the first ever Canadian angry.
I know, right? The first ever angry Canadian.
Who knew it was going to be that to set him off?
We don't have Hulu either, eh?
What's this all about?
I imagine that's what he said. I'm not sure. But yeah, so this episode, as you're kind of figuring out, we're going to be discussing Predator from 1987. And then on Wednesday, wait, is that how you want to do it?
Yeah.
And then on Wednesday,
sure,
we're going to drop our review.
We're figuring this out live.
Of Prey from 2022. And it might be flippy floppy. I don't know. Steve might get a wild hair up his ass. And you know what, man? I feel like we should talk about Prey on Monday. That's fine. That's fine. Steve's the man. But by the way, thank you, Steve, for holding down the fort. I know it was a lot of work.
Sure.
It's a lot of work anyway, but solo, I can't imagine. Because normally, like, Steve answers the Patreon messages as much as he can. I answer the emails as much as I can. Andy does a lot of stuff. And then Steve also has to edit every episode, which is a whole, like, that's a gargantuan amount of extra work. Steve had to do all of that for the last week. And I don't think any balls were dropped. I'm not sure.
Oh, I dropped a couple balls. Let me tell you what.
I don't think you did.
Oh, you mean for the podcast? Yeah. Oh, okay.
But yeah, man, it was a wild week. She went into labor at 3 a.m. on Saturday.
Whew.
And Aryeh was born at 3:32 p.m. and 10 seconds on Saturday. So she had 12 hours of labor. And that poor woman.
That poor woman. Oh, my gosh.
She was a beast. She did a one. I mean, so I can't imagine. Like, I would have crumbled at 4:30 a.m. right? Like me, Chris. But God, I'm not allowed to say this societally, right? I'm going to tell you just it's me and you, Steve. And okay. Then 50,000 people and me and you, Steve.
I was going to say, is this something I'm going to have to edit out? Like,
I just want to be honest in a way that might help people, but like, you're not allowed to say this, but it's just a fact. That was really hard on me, Steve. Just watching her, like, just, I know it was way, like, infinitesimally harder on her, or infinitely harder on her. I haven't slept. But yeah, just like watching her go through that and just being so fucking useless, because the nurses and the doctors like, push. And she's like, can't, you know, because she's been pushing for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And like, it's an ugly scene, right? And I'm just standing there like holding her leg, because like, that's what my job is. Like, yeah, you can. I guess I couldn't, but there's, yeah,
like,
you can.
There's tears streaming down your eyes. Like, yes.
So I literally was crying, like bawling, because she was in such pain. Mm-hmm. And this is funny to say. I broke at some point because she's just like, the baby's still not like here. Right. And she's just been, you can tell, giving it every ounce of her strength for so many hours that I'm just like, I can't believe she's still going. And they're telling her, keep going, right? You got to do better. And even like, kind of like a gym, like, come on, give me one more. Like, it's like that kind of.
One more rep. Come on.
And they're like yelling at her, like, yes, you can. You got to do it. If you want it to be over, you have to, you know what I mean? Kind of shit. Mm-hmm. And I'm getting kind of like angry and defensive of my wife internally, right? Like,
yeah.
Leave her alone, back off. She's pushing. Yeah. And I haven't even bonded to my daughter yet in the way that my wife has, because it's inside of her, right? So all I'm thinking is like, something's hurting my wife, you know?
get that baby out of here so I can kick its ass.
You son of a bitch. You hurt my wife. And so, and it's like a lot of gore and stuff too, right? So I'm just like, at some point I broke, but I'm trying not to let her see me crying. Mm-hmm. Because I didn't want her to be like, you know, it's like a kid, you know, when they scrape their knee, it's like they look at their parent and go, is it bad? And if you're like, oh, yeah, then they start getting like inconsolable. Yeah. So you have to, no matter how bad it looks, go, oh, psh, stand up.
It's running under a cold tap.
Yeah. And so I'm kind of doing that with her. Like, come on, baby. Yeah, you got it. Yeah, it's almost here. And I'm like, I have no idea how close it is. I have no idea what it feels like. And just I'm like bawling, but like over my shoulder and trying to suck it up for when I turn back around to look her in the eye. Mm-hmm. And so at one point, you know, my daughter came out and they put her on my wife's chest, and I kind of like all the nurses flooded in. There's like six of them. And I kind of slinked back like Homer Simpson into the bush and sat down on the chair when nobody was looking at me and just bawled. You know what I mean? And to a onlooker, it may have looked like the proud, happy tears of a new father, but it was not. It was the desperate weeping of the man in the chopper leaving Nam.
Man.
Yeah. Like, just like at the end of Platoon, you know what I mean? Yeah. When they're in the chopper, the last couple of guys, it was that kind of cry. And what I mean by not allowed to say that is like, of course, like I can't even imagine what Carissa did or what she was feeling. Right.
Oh, sure. But yeah.
Just from my perspective, that was tough. Yeah, it's hard on me. Man, that labor was hard on me.
I mean, there's absolutely nothing wrong to say that, especially when you obviously care and love for Carissa as much as you do.
So much.
Seeing the person you love in pain like that and you can't help.
Yeah.
That is incredibly emotionally taxing. And that's not taking anything away that she went through, because she obviously went through fucking hell.
Yes. Still is, right? Yeah. She's still like stitched up, and I've been bringing her every meal in the room and trying to take care of her and the baby as much as I can, and still continue to do everything that I'm doing too. So it's the sleep that gets deleted, not the helping of her and the baby. Right. Mm-hmm. Cause I got to continue doing this stuff, but, it's been a lot, but like I said, Arya's perfect. It's wonderful. We're, you know, adjusting. It's mostly like the two freaking dogs and the two cats like that. Like my wife typically,
I forgot you had two cats as well as,
yeah,
two dogs.
She typically takes the brunt of the animal care and stuff. Right. And like, I'm trying to remember to like water her flowers. I mean, there are flowers, but let's be honest, like, she bought them and has been taken care of. I have no fucking idea how much water. I just run the faucet over. I'm like, I guess drink up, little buddies.
There you go.
Then I'll hang you back up. You should be good, I guess. I don't know how flowers grow. I'm not a grower of things. I have zero green thumbs.
You're a shower, not a grower.
Yeah, I've just got two white thumbs. Exactly. But yeah, so that was over the weekend. We stayed at the hospital until Monday. And God, Michelle, the nurse, it was so wonderful. Shout out to her if she's a listener of the show. She was fantastic. So supportive of the whole process. And like, you could tell she was really meshing well with my wife. And but once we got into postpartum, I was like pretty annoyed because there's like complete utter lack of sleep, right? And the nurses have to come in like every hour to check on the baby. And so it was almost like, it felt to me like the second I would drift off, finally, just desperately needing just 20 minutes of pure sleep, please, God, please, or if else, not, end it now. And you know what I mean? They would burst in like, how's the baby? And then I would shoot up off the little shitty couch. Like,
they kick the door like a saloon bar.
Crying now. Why are you talking so loud at this hour? You know, what we got a measurer. Yeah. Do you right now?
Oh, still 10 inches.
Yeah. 21 inches. In fact, 8 pounds, whoa, 5 ounces, 21 inches. Very long and hefty baby. Very healthy. I love her so much.
She have hair?
She did.
Yeah. What are you going to bond
more,
with?
Way more hair than daddy.
You have nothing in common with this girl now.
Well, we do like the same shows because she, you know, she's been watching a lot of Sandman. She's been
we like the same shows.
Watching a lot of Last Kingdom.
She high five her at the end of Prey. Like, that was dope, baby.
She loved Prey. And not a big fan of Predator, but I can understand. It's not her bag.
No.
So anyway, that's what I've been up to. I've been missing my listeners so much. Love you all. I'm glad that Steve's the real asset here, and he's been holding down the fort. He's all you really need. No, but
not at all.
I have missed y'all very much. Very excited for House of the Dragon and the Rings of Power. I know that it's not Enza's deal. She's not a fantasy lover. And that makes me sad, because Enza's like, when there were 100 people that listened to the show, it was Enza front and center, her and Carmelita, I want to say, right?
Yeah.
Stephen V. So anyway, it's I'm sorry.
Did you listen to the interviews that we did?
I did.
So listeners, if you're not on Patreon, you should become a Patreon subscriber. You can listen to the brand new patron exclusive After Hours where I interviewed five of our patrons in lieu of, or in lack of Andy and Chris to do a podcast with. So Enza was one of the people that I interviewed, and it was the first time I've ever spoken to Enza. She's awesome. But at one point during the interview, I was like, Enza, I'm so sorry that, you're a proud patron, but you hate fantasy, and the next month is going to be House of Dragon and Rings of Power. And she's like, I will have to make do.
I like the idea that she's not going to not listen. She's just going to power through.
Yeah.
Try to maybe, I don't know. Maybe you'll like it. That's all I'm saying.
Maybe.
Like through the lens of streaming things, you might just fall in love.
That's true.
Like, you know what? I'm going to go buy a sword.
Who doesn't like buying swords?
I feel like swords are way easier to come by in Europe than they are here. I don't know where I'm getting that factoid. I just feel like that's the truth.
I mean, that's where the medieval times were.
And there's like a literal castle probably pretty close, Enza. Mm-hmm. Like, so just go like...
And you're tripping over swords and castles, you know what I'm saying?
That's what I'm saying.
They're everywhere.
So scope it out, maybe get in the vibe. Anyhoozle. So that's what's coming up. By the way, speaking of Patreon, yeah, you can go to patreon.com/streamingthings and subscribe at a variety of tiers to get bonus episodes like that. We do weird, quirky, fun stuff all the time. We're thinking about making that its own tier to where you can kind of hop on the show every once in a blue moon. Amongst other things, we're going to try to create a Discord soon. We've got video content, cross your fingers, if we have enough money.
I just started ripping apart my apartment today.
Yeah.
Building the studio. So the studio, hopefully in the next 2 weeks, is going to be up and running.
And then we could do like extra bonus behind the scenes videos and stuff on the Patreon. And yeah. That's what's down the pipeline, but also a YouTube channel. So that maybe if you're more of a watcher of podcasts, like some folks are, you can do that on the YouTubes. Yeah, if you will.
I like to call, if we have YouTube fans, I'm going to call them our voyeurs.
Hello, voyeurs.
Hello, voyeurs.
Peeking into Steve's room.
Yeah. Welcome to my apartment.
But he's got, how much time do you have? Today's like the 7th?
It's the 7th today. So I have
2 weeks exactly
to
build a studio with soundproofing and stuff in there and set up cameras and then figure out how to use it.
Cue the Rocky theme.
So the first episode might be Rocky on the video front. It's just pointed at like your leg.
Hi, welcome to my leg.
It's the same image as Steve's OnlyFans. What's going on right now?
I only see 9 toes.
Yeah, because he doesn't wear shoes while we record. Everybody should know that. He does. I feel like you sleep fully clothed, Steve.
I do. Yep.
You dog.
I don't have socks on, though, so.
Well, that's, you're just living.
I know. Sometimes I want to feel like a slut.
You gotta relax. I get it. But yeah, and I, by the way, speaking of Patreon, we got a iTunes review. I think it was 3 stars and they were really annoyed. Like, how many times can you mention Patreon in 2 hours or something like that? And I just, normally I'm used to like shitty comments cause I have a following on TikTok. So I'm pretty good at, for the most part, at just ignoring that shit. Cause there's just fucking trolls under every bridge. But that really upset me. And for a minute, right? Like I was like, really? Cause I can't say anything back cause it's an iTunes review. It's just there. You can't respond.
Yeah, sure.
And I was just thinking to myself, like, is that dick? And like, it hurt my feelings. Like, are we being schmoozy or like, are we being slutty or like, should we not say Patreon so much? I don't know. Just thought it was a thing. Cause we want to keep doing this as much as we are. And like, it's like 25, 30 hours a week, you know, of stuff that we do. Mm-hmm. And like, we'd love doing it, but shit, that's not sustainable with normal lives without some kind of income, right?
Yeah. This was the week that, again, you guys were gone. We didn't record any new episodes except for the one, but I calculated it up in my head this week. I did put 25 hours of my own time into this show. And that doesn't count watching Predator and Prey.
That's not even counting like watching the stuff, which by and large, for the most part, if I'm being honest, it's stuff I would watch anyway.
Yeah.
But not always, and definitely not to the like attention level that I put into some of it, like with notes and shit, right? Like I don't just take notes on Predator for fun normally. What do you want to watch tonight, honey? Parks and Rec? And I get out my notebook. Oh,
let's do it.
That's what he does. He just, oh, Ben Wyatt. He just writes Ben Wyatt over and over.
We all enjoy art differently, Chris.
I just wanted to throw that out there. Like, I'm sorry if it annoys anybody, but you know, we're just trying to be able to keep doing this at this level. By the way, to offset stuff like that, if you would go and, rate and review the podcast wherever you're listening to this. That would be wonderful. Like I said, we've got tens of thousands of listeners and like 800 reviews on there. We appreciate all that you guys do. Absolutely. But some of you are slacking. We're just going to, I'm just going to put it right out there. 10, 12 seconds, boom, 5 stars. You did it.
You did it.
You helped us greatly. You helped other people find us. And we're already like number 6 on Rings of Power. Haven't even done anything. So that's great.
Haven't done anything. Yep.
And I think we're like number 17 on House of the Dragon. So looking forward to bumping those numbers up, baby.
Oh yeah, baby.
A lot of stiff competition in the dragon frontier.
That's true. Yeah. Dragons are hot right now.
What should we watch next week? Something dragon themed? Should we watch How to Train Your Dragon? Should we watch Reign of Fire with Matthew McConaughey? Ooh. That old dragon hunting movie. Remember that?
Yeah. I've actually kind of been wanting to watch Me that too. Again.
We could. What other dragon movies are there?
Dragonheart.
Do you like dragons, Steve?
Sure. Who doesn't like dragons?
Yeah. Well, how about...
other than Enza.
How about me dragging these nuts across your forehead? How about that?
I'm a fan.
Do you like Imagine Dragons?
Hit or miss.
Yeah, Imagine Dragon these. Never mind. Yeah, we could. Okay. So we listen to Imagine Dragons. We watch How to Train Your Dragon and Reign of Fire. And then that's the only... Oh, what about Double Dragon?
I love Double Dragon.
Didn't they turn that into a movie?
100% they turned that to a movie.
I used to love that as a kid.
Bunch of double dorks. It's one of the best lines in a movie ever.
I love that you memorized that.
Because it's fucking hilarious.
Double dorks.
What I see here is a couple of double dorks.
Would it count if we watched Bruce Lee's Enter the Dragon?
Yes.
Okay.
I like how he said Dragonheart, but you just sailed right by that. Like, nah.
Dragonheart, you're right. Yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
It's
I was too busy
Sir
trying
Sean
to think of...
Sean Connery as a dragon.
Yes, yes, yes. I don't know, man.
I'm a dragon.
What if the dragon's like a little girl, man?
Get Argyle watching some dragons.
Oh, dude.
Dude, Argyle fucking loves dragons.
I got some purple sticky palm tree delight. Try before you deny, man. That's all I'm saying. How does Dr. Brenner feel about dragons?
I don't believe in them.
Really?
It's not a fair contest. I mean, maybe if a dragon was like a small child, then maybe I would be into that.
I feel like there's a movie out there, How to Train Your Dragon. It's got children and dragons.
And they kind of fight. That is my favorite one, especially when the one boy loses his leg. Mm-hmm. Big fan of that scene.
I bet you are.
Big fan.
I bet you are. Any hoozle. Yeah, so that's maybe what we'll do in the last week before House of the Dragon pops off, baby. But we want to do one more like intro to House of the Dragon episode, I feel like. Just talking about what's going to happen and all the characters and stuff. Maybe get JJ back. I don't know.
Yeah.
If she's willing. God and JJ willing. But enough further ado. No more fucking ado. Ado's done. I'm gonna say a don't on that.
There you go.
Let's talk about Predator from 1987, the thing that started it all. Directed by John McTiernan, by the way, who after this I think went on to direct Die Hard and Hunt for Red October.
Yeah, he's a legendary action director, John McTiernan.
Legendary. Well, now was this his first?
I don't know if this was his first. This came out in 87. When did Die Hard come out? Was Die Hard before that?
I want to say it was like 88. It was 88.
Okay, so this was...
Dude, he did fucking Rollerball from 2002. Remember that?
Yeah, I do remember Rollerball.
And Last Action Hero.
Oh, he did Last Action Hero too?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Apparently. Oh my God, he did 13th Warrior with Antonio Banderas. That movie rocks.
I haven't seen that one.
The Thomas Crown Affair. I'm pretty sure that has Pierce Brosnan.
It does. You were correct.
You would see that, but not 13th Warrior.
Well, I haven't seen the Thomas Crown Affair, but I know that he's in it because I think that's the movie that made people think, oh, he should be a James Bond.
A James Bond. So Predator stars.
Jim Bond.
Of course, Arnold Schwarzenegger as Dutch. Carl Weathers as Dylan.
Hell yeah. I love Carl Weathers.
I was thinking that you were probably a big fan of his for some unknown reason.
He's in Arrested Development.
It's because he's in Happy Gilmore, isn't it?
Yeah, that one. Yeah, not the one I just said. Happy Gilmore.
Oh, is it because he's in Colony?
I don't even know what the fuck that is.
Really?
Yeah.
What about because he's in Magnum P.I.? How about that?
Or he's fucking Apollo Creed and Rocky. I don't know. Like one of his bigger roles.
I was just ignoring all the stuff that was definitely why you loved him so much. Oh, he was in SWAT, the TV series from 1975.
Dope.
I just thought you should know that. He's also in The Mandalorian.
He is, as Greef Karga is that character's name.
And we got, of course, Jesse Ventura as Blaine.
I love Jesse Ventura. Not really. He's kind of an insane person, but like in this movie, he's so great. He's just like, I'm really upset about everything all the time, and I over-enunciate everything I say.
And I shoving a ridiculous amount of tobacco into my mouth. It'll spit it on somebody's fucking shoe, which is really crazy rude.
This stuff will make you a goddamn sexual tyrannosaurus. 9/11 was an inside job. Steel beams don't melt at that temperature.
I was like, what is this movie? But first, let's do this. And it's also got, by the way, real quick, last casting thing. Jesse Ventura. I'm so fucking tired. I just say that again. Jesse Ventura. Shane Black, who Shane plays Black? Hawkins, who is the Shane Black, like director, writer of Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. Such gems as Iron Man 3, The Nice Guys.
Didn't he make The Predator?
I believe, yes.
The really bad one that came out a couple years ago?
He did.
Because everyone was so excited. Like, Shane Black's doing a Predator. Hell yeah.
And the Lethal Weapon movies. But I didn't see The Predator from, was it 2018?
Yeah, I think so.
I didn't see that one.
It's not good.
Yeah, Shane, what have you been doing,
buddy? Bill Duke's in this, too. I think
yes, Mac,
on Bill Duke.
Bill Duke's amazing. He's hamming it up in this movie, though.
I know.
And this movie is a ton of camp. But I hadn't seen it since I was a kid. And at the time, I did not register camp. I just thought it was all awesome. I'm like a late 80s, early 90s action buff as a child.
This is what masculinity is supposed to be.
I just need to fucking grasp my bro's hands every time we meet and
flex
and flex and pretend to arm wrestle.
You've been pushing too many pencils.
You've been pushing. Pussing. That's exactly right.
What are you doing here, Dylan?
What are you doing?
They got you pushing too many pencils.
Hmm? What's with this tie? Why are you wearing a tie? You got a fucking. You got a fucking. You got a 401k? You're going to retire? You're going to raise a family? Yeah.
I bet they give you dental.
You take care of your teeth?
What a limp dick pussy.
I bet you've been brushing your teeth.
Like, this is going to be all fucking episode.
So many people have turned it off. We just got started, baby.
But yeah, Chris.
When was the last time you watched it? What's your relationship with Predator?
I've always been a huge fan of the first Predator. I probably watched it maybe like 5 years ago was the last time I saw it. But it's one of those movies I do revisit every half a decade or so, just because, you know, it's a lot of fun. This is a fun movie. It's a great example of when it comes to plot, less is more, because this has like almost no plot. There's like a backstory to why these commandos are in the jungle, but
kinda.
That fucking doesn't matter from the jump.
Kinda. I agree with you.
It's really just, and I think this is what, this is why this movie is the best. Well, arguably, it was the best one for so long in the franchise, right? Because it was so simple. It was like, here are some people. Here is an alien that is a big game hunter that has some type of big game hunting moral code that's just hunting the most dangerous human beings in a jungle. And that's all it is. It's a very simple concept. It's like one of those, I think I was watching a documentary, and I can't remember if it was McTiernan or Shane Black, who was like, it's one of those ideas that when someone finally had it, everyone else in the world was like, why the fuck didn't I think of that? That's so cool. But like, yeah. And I think this movie also stands a test of time because all the actors that they have in here are playing characters that are dialed up to 11. And almost all of them are like completely unforgettable performances and how over the top, silly, fun, ridiculous they are.
Yeah, the one guy, I forget which character it was, he just makes like three vagina jokes and that's his whole character.
Hawkins?
Oh, that's Shane Black. Yeah. Yeah, that's all he did. Every single joke that he told was specifically about big vaginas.
Yeah.
And I was like covering my daughter's ears and stuff. Like, what is this? What's this toxic masculinity? It's pretty crazy. But yeah, I hadn't seen it in a long time and I watched it after Prey. Did you watch this before or after Prey?
Before.
Yeah, I mean, the mistake. I watched it after, and I was just like going back in time, like, oh man,
fucked up.
Oh man,
you fucked up.
I mean, it's great. And originally, I don't know if you've seen the original suit that they had planned. Have you ever seen that?
I have, yeah.
Like that giant bug with Jean-Claude Van Damme in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess it wasn't giant because he's like 5'8". But
yeah, the original design for the Predator was very different, where it was like this weird bright red bug-looking thing, and they had Jean-Claude Van Damme in it, and he famously got fired from the set because he hated being in the suit.
Yeah, it was too hot. I mean, they're in the fucking jungle.
Oh, 100%. Like, it was too hot, and he was kind of upset because he's a martial arts guy, and he's like, so can I do martial arts? I'm like, no, you're a giant bug monster. He's like, ah, fuck, I'm hot.
I mean, definitely, I think the mobility of somebody like Jean-Claude Van Damme in The Predator would have been cool.
Oh, for sure.
But yeah, the suit design that they had at that time was just whack. It would have been a cult classic for a way different reason.
Yeah, you can. There's like a half hour long behind the scenes documentary on, you can find it on YouTube. I think it was like the 20th anniversary documentary or something, but they have an interview with John McTiernan and they were like, oh, on set, we were so ready. Like, oh, the Predator suit's coming today. Oh, it's going to be today. Can't wait for the Predator suit. And they come in and they open up the box and they're like, oh no. Oh no. And then they shot one scene with it and they sent it to the studio and they're like, you're going to pay for a new one, right? Because this, you don't want this to be in the movie,
this
right?
This is not the
it's
movie.
It's stupid. And it really is just really
it's
dumb
so
looking.
So goobery.
Because what they landed on, I think they ended up working with Stan Winston, I think. Stan Winston redesigned the Predator to what we know and love today.
Which is amazing.
Which had input from James Cameron.
Yes.
Did you hear that? The story how like they were on a flight and Stan Winston was doing drawings and James Cameron just happened to be sitting next to him. Was like, you know what?
It happens to me all the time.
Oh, he's everywhere. Jim Cameron, you can't get away from that guy.
Jim C.
And Jim Cameron was sitting there and he's like, you know what I always wanted to see? An alien with mandibles. And Stan Winston's like, fuck you, I ain't doing that. Actually, that sounds dope.
Take note.
Yeah.
Zero credit. I had a couple of Predator action figures when I was a kid. I love this movie and specifically the monster. Like, I thought it was amazing. And I had like the little shoulder plasma cannon. I remember strapping, it would come off the shoulder of the Predator and stuff. And he had the claws out and he was one of my favorite action figures to play with. But I always had his like faceplate on. When I took it off, I didn't like him because I'm really shallow. I'm like, you ugly.
You one ugly motherfucker.
So I want to read a review because Steve touched on it. This is actually Alex, friend of the show on Letterboxd. And I appreciated the movie more after reading his review because I was actually, I'm not going to lie, I was pretty down on it today after I watched it because I know it's a legendary film. I don't do camp well. I'm not a, like it has to be, it's pretty, I have to be in a silly, silly mood to really appreciate a campy movie. That's why I'm not the biggest like Sam Raimi fan, to be honest with you. Like, I'm not like, oh, this is fun and wacky. I'm just like, I feel like this was unintended. Like, cause I've made serious movies that when I watched them were campy and was like, this was a failure. Maybe I'm just seeing it through my own lens, but Alex writes, and I quote, Predator is the perfect primer for John McTiernan's next film, Die Hard, because it's so easy to be dismissive of them as brawny action films, where Die Hard transcends the typical machismo mold through its everyman hero. Predator does so by completely changing genres less than midway through. The first act of Predator is the only time I would call it an action movie. It's beefy bicep close-ups, stern looks, sex jokes, helicopters, explosions, and a body count somewhere in the high 50s. From there, Predator slows down and descends into more of a sci-fi horror film as Schwarzenegger and crew are stalked and hunted by the titular alien. And I think that that's very true, that like it's actually ahead of its time in the sense that it completely transitions into a different genre halfway through. It's just the first half that is like a struggle for me nowadays, but would have been my favorite part as a kid.
And that's one of the things I think is one of the better messages from this movie is that, you know, you've got these, what is it, like 7 to 10 beefy, strong, just ridiculous muscled dudes. Yeah. They're supposed to be the apex, you know, human being, right? They're in this like special,
best of the best.
They're the best of the best. God damn it, we need you, Dutch. They're the best of the best, and this Predator is picking them off one by one, like literally, like the best of the best of us, quote unquote, cannot kill this Predator. They have the best weapons, they have the best training, and it's nothing against this Predator. And the only reason that they're able to defeat it is by Arnold Schwarzenegger literally going back to basics and just hiding from it and stalking it and trying to outsmart it. And I think that's something that, strangely enough, is lost on a large portion of the audience for this movie. Like, they look at the big, strong Arnold Schwarzenegger like, yeah, that's what this movie's supposed to be. But really, this movie does kind of flip that on its head, where it's like, yeah, these guys, they may be the best and strongest and brightest, but they cannot beat this thing conventionally. So they have to think outside the box and really kind of go back to the basics of what humans can
go back to their own predatorial roots.
And that is a topic that I will bring back. We'll circle back to that when we talk about Prey.
I bet you will. I was just thinking to myself, I need to take notes for my future TikTok video. Cause we'll talk about it in Prey, the criticism that it's been getting from douchers.
Yeah.
The misogynist most likely. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I, you know, had a good time in this movie, but reading that, I was just like, this is okay. That elevates it a lot. When you think of it from that lens, it's just the first half that I really kind of was laughing at, you know what I mean? Cause it's so 80s. It's so, you know, they just stumble into the jungle. And like, the only thing you know about the quote unquote antagonists is that they don't speak English, right? Like I was watching with subtitles on and it was like, Spanish, blah, blah, blah. And then it was like Russian, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, goddamn, definitely don't want them around. You know what I mean? Like that's, it's just so like, I don't even know what's going on. And there's like, did you take a play by play?
I did.
Do it.
Okay. Well, we start off, we're in space. You see space, the predator ship jumps down and the predator ship poops out a smaller ship mm-hmm. in the earth. And, you get the really cool iconic score. I really like the score of this movie. The like, I love that. But yeah, the whole Dutch's crew, does their team have a crew name?
I think it's the Expendables 3.
The Expendables 3.
Well, this is where they are called Expendables.
Do you think Sylvester Stallone was like, God damn it?
I think it's definitely an allusion to one of the greatest action films of all time.
I'm gonna fucking do that.
Hey, I wasn't invited to be in a movie.
I fucking hate us.
My Stallone impression is a lot to be desired.
I think we're both crushing it. But yeah, they land. I love how they immediately kind of show that this crew is different. Like they're not in military gear at the start. Like they're all wearing very different outfits to kind of show what type of person they are.
But he's got that cigar, baby.
Oh yeah, you know Arnold Schwarzenegger is going to be rocking a cigar.
There's that little moment where he hops out of the chopper and does it all goofy because he like throws his pack ahead of him like it's a 40-foot drop, and then he does like a yeah. And it's, and then he picks his bag up. And I just remember thinking, I don't think he had to do it that way. You got really long legs.
But how will you not see my bicep?
I wanted to curl my bag.
I'm coming.
But yeah, so he meets up with this two-star general, which by the way, maybe the meekest general ever shown on.
Look at the men he's around.
Well, he shows me, hey, Dutch, thanks for coming. I'm basically Morty from Rick and Morty, but in two-star general outfit.
Oh, geez.
We got all these guys are taking the cabinet ministers and they're gorillas. Can't confirm if they're actual gorillas or just the soldier kind of gorillas. We got a couple of Harambes up there. Yeah, he tells them that there's a cabinet minister whose helicopter has crashed in the jungle and gorillas have taken them hostage. And they need some specialists who are all about the search and rescue to save the cabinet minister.
So here's one thing right off the bat that bothered me that I don't understand is Arnold and his crew. Or I'm sorry, Dutch, right? Dutch. Dylan and the bunch, are they not Dylan but Dutch and the rest, are they
Dutch's
private
bunch.
Are they Dutch's bunch, are they private contractors now, are they out of the military?
That's what I gathered, where they,
because yeah, he doesn't take orders really well if he's still in the military, and they constantly call him major, which is maybe from his past, right? Mm. But I was like, this whole dynamic, like he keeps like, you need to tell me, I'm not going to do it if you don't tell me. You know, I only do one type of job. And I'm like, you kind of have to do whatever the fuck they say.
No.
No, I don't. Unless he's like a private company now, which is, and if he is, that's weird, right?
Dutch's Bunch LLC.
Let's see what day do you need me. Tuesday is no good.
I'm going to have to put this in my QuickBooks.
But yeah, this is where we meet Carl Weathers Dylan, who's they clearly have a past mm-hmm. in Dutch, but Dylan has seemingly moved on to the CIA. Dylan, you son of a bitch. And we get that like meme shot where they like grasp hands and their biceps flex. And yeah. It's like, ah, man, that's, did you do the like Leonardo, like there's the meme.
Yeah.
Did you do that? I love that. But yeah, there's this is where they kind of bring up the fact that Dutch's team really only focuses on search and rescue, because there's like, what about that thing in Libya? And he's like, I don't do that sort of work anymore.
Yeah.
Which is implied like he doesn't do like assassination work or anything like that. But
they do bring Gatling guns and grenade launchers for their search and rescue with that.
For rescue.
Yeah. Yeah. Using my rescue grenades.
Oh my God. Seriously, why do they have all this gear?
I don't know, but it's amazing.
Because they look badass.
What does he say?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Come over here. Old Painless is waiting. Come over here. Old Painless is waiting. He calls the Gatling gun Old Painless. Oh, yeah. That's Jesse Ventura's character.
Was that your Jesse Ventura voice?
No. Just, for this episode, it's going to be Arnold and everyone else will just be my voice.
Oh, man. You got to do the Jesse Ventura.
I can't do it.
But then we kind of cut to all the team flying in the helicopter. Dylan's going with them on this mission.
He's got creepy CIA stuff to do.
Oh yeah, he's definitely got some spookness going on, mm-hmm. You know.
Definitely not on the up and up.
No, there's something to this Dylan. But on this helicopter ride, you kind of get a little slice of life into all these different characters, like who they are.
My favorite part is Mac, Bill Duke, who just is perpetually trying to keep his face baby ass smooth. Because he's got that little razor blade just constantly dry shaving, which is bothering me. I'm like, that's got to itch. You know what I mean? You're going to get a hell of a razor burn. I mean, toward the end, he's in the jungle. He's got the sweat to kind of lubricate the shave job. Mm. But in the chopper.
That's just got to hurt.
Yeah.
It's got to burn.
Have you ever dry shave, Steve?
But Bill Duke has one of those faces that he just looks perpetually just bored out of his fucking mind. Like, so he's shaving his beard and it probably hurts him like none other, but he's like, normal day for me. Mm-hmm. Just Bill Duke doing normal Bill Duke stuff.
Jesse Ventura is trying to offer me some chewing tobacco. I do not want it. I decline.
No, thanks, buddy. Jesse Ventura eating his chewing tobacco, dropping a hard F word.
Yes.
I was not expecting. Indeed. This is definitely a movie filmed in the 80s.
He's not allowed to say that.
No. And then we get Shane Black with his first of three.
I think it's at least two. At least two.
This one, not a big hit. He tries to tell it to
Billy likes the second Billy. One.
Yeah, well, Billy loves the second one. He was not impressed with his first pussy joke. And you know it's bad when you tell a joke and then you have to like explain the punchline because he says something like, because her pussy's so huge, yeah. Get it?
Yeah.
And everyone's just staring at him like, yeah, we get it. You've never seen a pussy. And
I feel like if that crowd doesn't laugh, no one's going to laugh, right? Like that's your crowd. Mm-hmm. That's his audience, his target audience. And he's been saving that up all week.
But of course, this is where we get the first of several incredibly memorable lines in this movie, and that is Jesse's Ventura, I'm a goddamn sexual tyrannosaurus. And he's got his little like dingo hat on. What do you call this hat? Where it's like the cowboy hat, but the one side's bent vertically.
Dingo hat is great. I don't think that's what it is.
But you know what I meant when I said dingo hat, right?
For sure.
and then he spits on Dylan's shoes. And I love this little bit with Dylan where he kind of does the fingers like, hey, come here. I want to talk to you.
Yeah.
And Jesse Ventura leans in and he goes, it's a real bad, nasty habit you got there.
Yeah. So I'm just worried about your health. I'm not going to say anything macho.
I mean, I don't care about my boot, but worried about your health, buddy.
Like, even if he wasn't being like aggressive and spitting on someone else's boot, I just feel like spitting in the chopper is rude. Like I wanted pilot to turn around and be like, what the fuck, man? I got to spray that shit out.
You just hear the co-pilot go, nice. Thanks.
I'm just up here taking a shit. Do whatever you want back there.
Oh, I'm just dropping you off. No big deal. Better pray I come back and get you.
Definitely not.
But
like if that was an Uber, you would get a horrible rating.
One star.
One star is spit on my floor.
but they land in the jungle and we get a couple shots of them kind of skulking about. And I love 1980s, like these are trained professionals in the jungle. And literally it's just the camera slowly panning. And sometimes one of them will just kind of like put their back up to the tree. Arnold's got like this M16. He's holding it like
he never aims it.
He never aims it.
I was looking through the whole movie. He just keeps it at his waist and unloads. Like so many innocent people are just like, like I can just imagine that was just a village of normal people. And he just rammed a truck with grenades in it into the house, and grandma's in there stirring the chili like, oh, I wonder who's here.
I mean, do they ever establish what Anna's role is?
No.
Like, they could have been just a regular
ex-village. I don't know what they were doing. There was no cabinet minister, right? Because it was the kind of chopper was reconnaissance.
Right.
They go in there like, oh, it's a reconnaissance chopper.
The cabinet member was a CIA agent that was meeting with, I think, some sort of Russian person. Because something big is going to go down here, Dutch.
Yeah, this is the middle of the Cold War. So that's why the Russians were there. Where are they even at? Colombia? Or
I don't know if it's ever actually even said where they are. I know they filmed in Mexico, but they're not supposed to be in Mexico.
Right. I don't know, man. Also, this is before the lore of Predator was invented, right?
Right.
Because we didn't get that till, I feel like, AVP, even when I started to realize, like, oh, they hunt for sport across the galaxy. And
it was right before Predator 2, because the Alien versus Predator comics, I think, came out either right before or right after Predator 2.
Okay. Movie. So they came from comics before the movie, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Because like in this movie, that Predator has just been in this fucking, wherever this is, South American jungle for decades. Because like Anna's like, you know, when I was a little girl, my grandma would talk about, you know, I'm like, wait, what? This alien just fucking hangs out on this one area all the time? Why?
That she was implying that when it's the hottest of summers, it's when the alien or the predators come. And I took it as like they just come for like the summer and then leave. And
yeah,
then when it's like another summer, another one comes down.
It's like rich people in America that travel to Africa to like hunt rhinos and stuff.
Oh my God.
That's what the predators are?
Is that what the predators are? They're just like the predator version of like super elite rich kids that are like, I'm going to shoot an elk.
Yes, because I'm going to go on this rant again in the Prey episode, but this bothers me because the predator's a bitch. Like everybody's like, oh, he's apex hunter. Nick, no, he's not. This dude hunts like intergalactic travel is so far advanced that anything you encounter, like a human is an ant to any alien that has intergalactic travel, right? Just bar none, done, right? He's got a plasma cannon, infrared sight. He goes fucking invisible and he's like, I kill every. Like, no shit, dude. They can't see you, bro. And you shot them forever away with like a plasma. Well, I don't know what that is. I just know it's like really advanced.
Yeah, it's like a plasma cannon that like moves with your head. You don't even have to really aim. You just have to look at something.
It is 100% analogous to the disgustingly rich people that like drug sick rhinos and then release them and then go shoot them. Right? Like, it's not even sport. It's not hard.
Yeah.
You're just an asshole. And that's how I feel about the Predator. Like, it's not hard. You're just an asshole. You're invisible.
Dude, you're not wrong.
You know what I mean?
You're not wrong. If the design of that alien didn't look as badass as it does, it would be, 100%.
I love it as just like a malevolent creature, but as like the best hunter in the world. No, you're not. You're cheating.
Do you think the Predator's just hopping around trees like, I'm a hunter.
I'm a hunter.
He's like not even purr he does.
Like, he's not like tracking anything. He's just like killing whatever he sees because he's invisible. You know, there's no hunting.
Well, there is a little, I don't know if this is hunting, but it's definitely voyeuring, where he's kind of just sitting back and watching. Like, oh, these people are going to fight. Let's see who comes out on top. Oh, that means that person is the.
Does he do that in this movie though? Or is that the other movie that I won't say which one I like more yet?
Yeah.
Other movie, right?
Well, he does it in this movie too, because in theory
he saw them kill the village and was like, oh.
Yeah, and it's implied that
he probably saw their biceps and was like, holy shit.
He's like, god damn.
And what if
did a little twitch like, oh, look at the bicep on that one.
Do you think he heard the second vagina joke and laughed?
We thought it was Billy laughing. It was really the Predator.
Dude, that's where I almost took a star away from my rating of this, was when they decided that the alien should have an 80s maniacal villain laugh at the end. I know I'm jumping the gun on that, but I'm just like, what the fuck? Why is the alien going?
What recorded Sonny's laugh? I wish he would have done that more. He doesn't do it a lot in this movie where he records people and then uses the recording to spook him.
I don't remember him doing that. Does he do it in the second one a lot?
I, you know, full disclosure, I don't remember the second one that well.
I don't remember anything about any of them except for AVP.
The only thing I remember about Predator 2 is Danny Glover calls him Pussyface. And, and shoot. Oh, what's his name? He passed away, unfortunately. He was in Twister. Why am I waking up?
Bill Paxton.
Bill Paxton. Bill Paxton became the first person to be killed by a Terminator, alien, and a Predator.
He's still, to this day, the only person.
There's one other person.
No, say it.
Fuck. I can't remember his name. He's the old dude. He's Bishop, an alien.
Because canon is that he survived, I believe. And like he's like crippled or something later. And he dies some technically from an explosion or something like that. Oh, I watched a video on it, but it's like technically he's not it either.
Nerd.
Holy shit. Am I taking your thunder right now?
About what?
Stuff that's related to Stranger Things.
I think so. Are you going to drop it? Drop it.
I just realized a second one. Should I drop it?
Well, I'll say the one I was going to say, and then you can do the other one. Okay, so speaking of like the Predator watching people, I think it's implied that it was also watching the first team that went in and failed, led by a character named Jim Hopper.
Oh!
That's right, baby. Jim Hopper is in Predator.
I never knew that ego until I was watching this today.
I didn't either.
But I just realized I'm so dumb looking at the cast list. The guy's Shane Black's name is fucking Hawkins, Steve.
Yeah, wow.
Didn't
hit
you either?
No, it didn't hit me either.
That's got to be another one.
The Duffers love them some Predator.
They do, baby. Oh, my God. And Mac's last name is Byers. I made that up. But everybody would have believed me, and that's the kind of trust that they have in this show.
And well, we don't abuse the trust.
But we do have Jim Hopper and Hawkins in this movie. That's amazing.
Yeah, that's nuts. Well, they find the crash helicopter. They do some digging around, and somehow Billy's like, ooh, the weenies are running past. Oh, my gosh. Sound like a stampede running through. They're playing. Aw. What are you guys doing? But, what was I thinking? Okay, so they find the down helicopter. They do some digging around, and somehow Billy's able to find out, oh, this helicopter was taken down by heat-seeking missiles. And because, you know, Billy has that intuition.
Heat-seekers.
And then they figure out that there's actually six other American boots that they're tracking as well.
They got American boots.
And that's the first, like, oh, something's not right here. Eventually.
And Dylan's like, oh, I don't know. Maybe they got them off Amazon.
Weird.
We are in the Amazon.
Weird. Yeah, maybe they stole him from some of our...
And he's like being so shady. He's the worst CIA agent ever. Everybody's like, what are you doing? Are you lying? And he's like, definitely not.
No. What?
That's the attitude of it. Yeah. I'm like, okay.
Nuh-uh. You are.
You're lying.
Dutch. You're not even American. I can tell.
I'm going to tell your secret. If you don't keep my secret.
If you don't get off my nuts, I'm telling everybody you're Austrian.
No, I'm not.
But eventually they find Jim Hopper and gang. They have been skinned alive and hung upside down.
How do they know they were alive when they were skinned?
You know, Chris, that is a good question.
Because I was thinking...
Honestly, Billy just said it and I took him for his word.
Yeah, I mean, you just take Billy's word.
Billy seemed to know what he's doing.
He's a good tracker.
I honestly don't know what everyone else does in this team, but Billy's kind of OP on this Dutch's gang. Funny enough, the Billy character in the original script was supposed to be the main character because they wanted the main character to be Native American.
Yeah.
But I guess once you get Arnold Schwarzenegger, they're like, nah, make it the big, giant, scary man.
Should we do that or Terminator? What do you guys think?
Well, apparently they didn't want to hire that actor. What's his name? Sonny Lantham. The studio did not want to hire Sonny because they saw him as a liability. Cause I guess that I don't know too much about the man himself, but I guess he had a reputation of getting into fights and stern shit.
Sounds like it's perfect.
So they had to literally hire two giant ass bodyguards to follow him around on set, not to protect him from people, but to protect other people from him.
Wow.
Which, yeah, I don't know about that. Like I saw that on the documentary that I mentioned at the top, John McTiernan was saying that, but it's kind of like, I don't really know that actor's history to really speak further on that, but that's kind of interesting. Like this badass dude supposed to be the lead character of the movie. And they're like, nah, not the guy that's so scary. We need to have six bodyguards to protect us from him. Let's get Arnold, who's just a big teddy bear.
Big teddy bear. Nice guy.
He might try to fuck you.
Governor of California.
He might try to fuck you.
You're gumming all the time.
I'm always gumming. I'm in the gym. I go to work.
People that have not seen that video are so confused why we keep saying that.
There's a documentary where he says that a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look it up.
Yeah.
Google Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Well, let's just skip forward. Like, eventually they find the...
There's not much plot.
No, they eventually find the... What do you call it? The villa? The village?
Village
that, like, huts. All these quote-unquote gorillas are at.
Like, their generator is like an old pickup truck that they're using the old... Looks like the back wheels were taken off. They put belts on them. Mm-hmm. And the engine's actually running and turning to create the electricity or whatever. That's right. What it looks like. And fucking Arnold, man, he's so strong. He lifts that whole ass truck up and his shit's bulging. It's so girthy, like pythons.
Gross.
And then he puts some explosives, I guess, in the back and pushes it. Mm-hmm. Toward the house.
And big explosion. It's a huge firefight. Everyone gets their shit in. They fuck up some people.
Can you say that? Is that an idiom I'm not aware of?
You never heard of everybody gets their shit in?
Nah.
Sorry, that's the pro wrestling fan in me talking.
Gets their shit in.
That's what they call it when a wrestler's like, I want to do my moves and not look like a pussy. I need to get my shit in.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a real wrestling thing? Yep. Well, Jesse Ventura is in this, so that makes sense.
You're goddamn right I'm in this. You better believe that Jesse Ventura, the body, got his shit in.
If you had to say that your sexual prowess was compared to some sort of animal, be it current or prehistoric, what would it be?
Tyrannosaurus, late Cretaceous.
He knows his paleontology.
Did you hear Arnold Schwarzenegger played a prank on him during this movie where Arnold told the seamstress to tell Jesse Ventura that his arms were an inch large, like his bicep arms were an inch larger than Arnold's, so that Jesse Ventura could be like, I bet I have the bigger arms than you do, Mr. Olympian. And so Arnold's like, well, let's bet. Let's have a wager. Let's bet. I'll bet you some champagne. And they're like, yeah, we'll do it. And like Arnold's were like 3 inches bigger than him. He's like, aha, you're stupid. You cannot beat me. But yeah, apparently that was true. And it's so funny because if you hear Ventura's side of the story, it's so he's a pro wrestler. So he's always working. And he's like, you better believe that that made the body Ventura feel real good about himself, knowing that he beat the Olympian. No, he didn't beat me. That was me. Like, okay, buddy. But yeah, they eventually capture Anna, who was there.
Yeah, Dylan captures her because he wants to take her back for more questioning, interrogation.
Yeah,
for whatever question mark stuff is afoot there.
Yeah, the gorillas, they kill the hostages that they were
all
there to save.
52 of everybody.
There was something going on between the Russians there.
And how do they know that all the hostages were dead, Steve? Because I would argue that they saw one get shot in the head and they immediately blew up every single building without looking inside them. And I was concerned because they were on a rescue mission.
Well, Chris, Billy said,
everybody's dead.
Oh, no.
Yeah, they killed them.
They were already dead when they got there. It's very sad.
The rescue grenades were ineffective.
What if the dude he like threw the knife at and stuck him to the door before saying like, stick around? Like that was the cabinet
that
minister.
Was the cabinet minister.
Sticker. Oh fuck. Shit.
I just pictured him. He's so dumb, just running through and tossing like, rescue grenade into all the windows. Like, don't worry.
What was the Gatling gun's name?
Old Painless.
Oh, Old Painless is here to save the day.
But yeah, they get all mad and upset at Dylan because they realize that he used them, that you're an asset. Get used to it. You know, he used them.
You're expendable.
They do the wet work, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a really interesting scene where, because at this point, Dylan's kind of been shown to be kind of inept in the jungle and Duke hates him. Bill Duke. Is that his name? His name's Mac in the movie, right?
Mac, yeah.
So Mac is like, yeah, you give our position away one more time, I'll ghost you, motherfucker.
Yeah, I'll literally fucking kill you.
And then there's a scene where it looks like he's going to stab him in the back, but he really...
It's a scorpion,
it's a
baby.
Scorpion. And
that was a cool shot, actually.
I thought, like, did they really step on that scorpion? It's kind of...
It looked like a real scorpion, yeah, they squished, yeah.
Kind of fucked up. And then this is where we get the second of Hawkins's pussy jokes.
Yes.
But this one... tears the house down with Billy.
Billy loves it.
Billy lets out the 80s villain cackle.
Are you arguing that the Predator heard that and recorded it and that's how he laughed at the end?
That's 100% what happened.
That is way cooler than what I thought.
Yeah, because the Predator can do that. He does it in other movies.
Yeah, I had forgotten that.
But he also does it at one point. I think he records Mac at some point, too. So when he has that fight with Mac and Dylan later, he uses the recording of, like, I'm right here to, like, fuck with him at one point.
Huh. I was holding the baby.
You can't blame the baby.
She might have needed to feed at that moment. I missed it, man.
That's true. You know, you gotta take care of that little kid.
That's cool.
Let me see. I'm kind of speed running through my notes here. This is when everything kind of really pops off. I mean, Anna's trying to get away. The Predator eventually decides to make his move on Hawkins first. This is when Anna tries to run away. He goes after her and the Predator just
Hawkins is the Will Byers of this movie.
He gets taken. Mm-hmm. He gets taken to the Upside Down. They don't know where
they hang him upside down and skin him, but it's the same thing.
Well, tomato, tomato.
This is the tomato in this instance.
Yeah. And this is where Anna says the jungle came and took him. And which is, what did you think about this first scene with Hawkins being killed?
I liked it. It was, I don't remember anything particularly awesome or not awesome about it. I mean, not only have I seen this movie many times, but it's like, you know where it's going to go as a Predator fan, right? Like start picking them off one by one and doing his thing. But I'm really hesitant to keep bringing up Prey because we're going to talk about that in a different episode. But I just feel like, you know, it could honestly, though, I will say this. Things hold up kind of for the special effects for what it was. I expected the camouflage in my memory to look like Lynch's Dune or something. David Lynch's Dune. You know what I mean? But it really doesn't. It doesn't look bad. It doesn't look terrible.
No, I mean, for the time, it looks fine.
And like you said, the monster design is so good.
I do have to say, I watched this on Hulu, and I think whatever Hulu is using, whatever version it's using to stream is not the...
Is the original Predator on Hulu?
It is.
God damn it. I paid $4 to watch it on Apple TV.
Really? Oh.
After watching Prey on Hulu.
No, I watched it on Hulu, but I think that whatever rip they're using isn't like the HD rip, because there's every now and then there's a couple shots where I'm like, I don't remember that looking so out of focus and fuzzy.
Yeah. Well, maybe I lucked out then with the $4, the high quality version, baby.
Yeah, you got that Blu-ray.
But I kind of liked it, you know, because she's sitting there and it's ghastly from her perspective. You know, what did you think about it?
Oh, I thought it was fine. I do like how he just kind of swoops in. It's really quick.
Yeah.
He
spends a lot of time in the trees in this first movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because he doesn't leave tracks for Billy to find. And that's why Billy's so spooked about, like, there's something out here hunting us, but I can't tell what it is. It's not leaving tracks.
Well, yeah, at one point, Billy's even like, there's something in them trees. And Arnold's like, for real? Because he trusts him so much, he just stands by him and looks where he's looking.
No shit.
He's like a bird. Or I don't know why I'm fucking Gru from Despicable Me now. It's like no big deal.
But yeah, they get Hawkins and
I'm going to steal the moon.
Is that a Gru thing?
Yeah. Oh. You never watched Despicable Me?
I think I've seen the first one, but I don't remember anything about it.
Dude, that movie is a fire. Plus, that's the introduction of the Minions.
Well, I hate Minions, so. Oh, goodness me. But they're like, fan out. We need to find Hawkins. We need to find his body. Fan out. 50 meter spread.
Yeah.
Whatever that means.
And then they just start kind of looking slightly left and right.
They're kind of creeping along the jungle. And then...
can't find anything.
Jesse Ventura gets shot down by the Predator.
Mm-hmm. Through the chest. But that's Max Homie.
Max Homie. So Max sees the eyes of the invisible Predator and immediately just starts screaming and like, I'm gonna get you.
36 men get mutilated and only Mac and what's his fucking
Blair
and Blaine.
Blaine.
Only Mac and Blaine survives. They've been bonded ever since. They've been trauma bonded for decades.
They're bros.
And that Predator took him away from him and he loses his mind.
And they deforest like 25 acres of a rainforest.
Dude, that first scene when Mac picks up the damn old Painless, the Gatling gun, and then I was dying laughing because Mac just unloads, right? 200 rounds, which I understand. He's like upset. His best friend just got killed. Like that makes sense. But everyone else who has no fucking idea what's going on,
just jump in,
just walks up and go, oh, we shooting? And general direction, heard that. And they unload too. I'm like, what is going? And then dude just starts shooting his grenades too. Like, fuck it. I want to play.
Yeah.
I didn't bring all this shit here to not shoot it.
It's one of those things where if you think about it critically, it makes no goddamn sense. Like no quote unquote elite trained combat unit is going to waste all that ammunition. Right. But for movie sense, it is a really powerful thing to see like these guys just level a fucking forest,
knocking trees over,
and then they don't hit anything. Like that's like, we didn't hit a goddamn thing, Dutch. Like that, that is like,
what,
a
are
really
we stormtroopers?
Visual. We on the goddamn Death Star right now. Shit. But yeah, like that is a really powerful visual. They don't hit anything. This is when then they start zipping up. This music cracks me up. They're zipping up Jesse Ventura in the body bag, and like the Creative Commons version of Taps starts playing.
Oh, you got to have that.
It's not even Taps. It's just like, we can't afford Taps. Let's get... Everyone's going to know what we mean if we play this song.
We blew the budget on the rescue grenades.
But we get a cool scene where the Predator's kind of patching himself up. I really like that addition that they add there. If you know, because as Arnold astutely says, if it bleeds, they can in fact kill it.
If it bleeds, we can kill it.
Another great line. I love that line.
But then Mac had already said one of the best lines in the whole fucking movie after the initial guerrilla assault. I think it's Hawkins walks up to him and he's like, "Hey man, you're bleeding." And Jesse Ventura says, and I quote, "Ain't got time to bleed.
Ain't got time to bleed." So fucking good.
What's he saying? He actually, like, they call attention to the fact that that's a dumb line because Hawkins says,
Poncho's the one that
Poncho. Yeah.
Because Poncho's like, "You got time to take cover?"
Yeah. You got time to duck. Yeah. You got time to duck after he shoots the grenades up there. I love that.
Poncho's the one dude that I totally forgot about existed when I booted this movie up. Like when all the characters came, like, oh, there's Mac, there's Dylan, there's Blaine, there's Dutch. Who the fuck is that guy?
It's Poncho, baby. It's
Poncho. Okay. He's the one that just gets scared the whole time and gets shot in the head.
I spread my butt cheeks and play girl under the name Mike Honcho. Sorry.
Is that real?
That's from fucking Talladega Nights.
Oh shit, yeah.
When he's in the coma and he's trying to confess to him.
That's a deep pool, man. Well, they set up camp. Mac has first watch. He ends up killing a pig because it sneaks up on him. But really, it was a big diversion because the Predator wanted his kill. He wanted Blaine's body because that's his trophy, man.
That's what he does. Keeps him skull. At one point, he's like petting the skull, like, my precious.
I mean, you get Jesse Ventura's head. Skull, that thing.
Jesse the Head Ventura.
The Predator's like, man, this is a sexual Tyrannosaurus. We gotta mount this baby.
He's not leaving Earth without head.
No. So they build a bunch of traps.
Goes back to Gloobly Glorp, sets him on a shelf.
Gloobly Glorp, is that the Predator
home from?
Oh, sure. Gloobly Glorp.
Looked up the lore.
Dutch is like, we have to make a stand here and now if we're gonna survive. So they build a bunch of traps and they're kind of waiting for the Predator to come to them. Anna goes on this like exposition dump out. She's like, they say such terrible, strange things, such crazy things. She's talking about how the Predator comes during the hottest season of the month. It's a demon who makes trophies of men. Mm-hmm. I really like that line.
Anna's great. Elpidia Carrillo.
What was her name?
Elpidia Carrillo.
Yeah, she's awesome.
I went for it.
If you watch that behind the scenes documentary, it's so clear to me that John McTiernan didn't know what to do with her.
Yeah,
because he's like, oh, she's great. I didn't even direct her because she clearly knew what the character was better than I did. So I just let her do whatever.
What's the woman going to do?
Don't hold a gun. but the Predator comes, it kind of falls into the trap, it like gets sprung and they're trying to shoot it, but it gets out, it lets one of the log traps loose, which hits Poncho and hurts him. Mac and Dylan go after the Predator. Mac is kind of in this like crazy revenge spiral, you know, where he has to, you know, he's got to get revenge for his buddy Blair, or Blaine. I keep saying Blair. Blair's
a better name. Blair's from the thing.
Blair's in the fucking shed wanting to come back inside.
I'm ready to come back.
I'm ready to. I would also like to watch Predator. It sounds like a good film. I really would like to come back inside.
but I love this part. There's this shot that they have of Bill Duke. He's like taking off his, you know, jacket so he can, I guess, run easier. But the whole time he's like lost his goddamn mind. And to illustrate that, they just have him going, "I'm gonna get you, motherfucker. I'm gonna get you, motherfucker. I'm gonna get you."
He's a pro. He's still shaving too, but he snaps off his razor into his cheek earlier too.
Oh yeah,
bleeds a little bit,
and he still looks bored out of his fucking mind.
He had time to bleed.
That's the difference when he and Blaine. Fucking shit.
Yeah, I would like to come back inside.
But Dylan catches up with Mac. Mac's like, I see you, motherfucker. Mm-hmm. And Dylan also sees it. This is kind of like, did you take this as Dylan's sort of like redemption angle? Like he knows it's his fault that everyone's dying. So he's going to try to help Mac to, I don't know, like, you know, save his soul or whatever.
Yeah. And at one point it's like, you guys go ahead. I got this. And he doesn't, in fact, have this at all, even for a moment.
Not at all.
Doesn't he die off camera?
No, Dylan dies on camera. Billy dies off camera.
That's right. And Billy's was lame, too.
Oh, Billy's was lame.
He's like, because that's really long and drug out, and then he doesn't do anything.
Yeah, because they really make a point to kind of sit up.
He's like, throws his gun. He pulls out his knife, like, and I'm like, oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
And then I'm sorry, but he doesn't even... He gets brutally murdered because in the background, it's not just like, oh, like somebody who's dying. He's like, ah! Yeah. Like, that's not the scream of somebody who expected death.
No. Death.
Holy fuck.
That hurts really bad.
It hurts way worse than I thought. Come back. I'm like, wow. Okay, Billy.
But they spend so much time setting up that character to be like, he's the only one that has an iota of, you know, an ounce of being able to like compete with a predator because he senses he's around. He understands the danger they're in. You can see that, you know, Billy could make a fucking trap and trap this thing, right? He even like does like the honorable things like, no, we're going to fight men to men. I'm going to put the weapons away. And the predator's like, nah, fuck you. Beep.
I assume he just plasma cannon. Yeah.
We don't see that. And I wanted to see that confrontation, Billy versus the predator. That would have been like, if that was a movie that was made today, that would be a fucking 5 minute, at least long fight. Right.
Well, we got that movie today and it's amazing.
It was dope.
Well, we got it Friday.
It was so dope. But yeah, he kills Billy.
Kills him.
He shoots Mac in the face. Yeah. I love their whole plan. He's like, you go that way, I'll go under him. And he just
doesn't
like,
work at all. He's just waiting on him.
I was like, yeah, but I saw you. I see heat.
I see you.
I see heat. You're hiding under a log ain't doing shit.
Look, man, I'm not trying to be a dick.
That's how the Predator talks. Predator.
Look, man, I see you. Okay. I'm not gonna stab you though. I'm not gonna fork you with my fork.
I'll make it quick.
I'm gonna blast you with all three of these little laser cannon things.
I'm gonna fuck Dylan up.
He's CIA.
Dylan comes packing two like little submachine guns and he shoots
Gutch,
one of his,
tosses him an extra one for no reason.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah.
Don't know if this will help. I just don't want to carry it.
Yeah, I'm not giving it to the woman.
Gross. Could you imagine?
That's the energy he gives off.
For sure.
I know he's doing it because he realizes that the Predator doesn't see her as a threat and won't kill her because he's just sporting it. But because of what we know as Arnold Schwarzenegger as a person in the 80s, that's not what he was thinking. Yeah, he like shoots Dylan's arm off and then runs at him and then stabs him. And Dylan has probably maybe the best death in the whole movie.
Or the worst, depends on how you look at it.
Visually, it was super cool.
Yeah, but like pain-wise.
But if I was him, it'd suck.
But he got you got them all in this mess death, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do like how his arm is like still firing. Because if they hadn't,
without Dylan, the Predator would have just been killing the foreigners, which would have been fine.
USA, USA. No. I never thought of it that way. You're right. This is a real Indiana Jones situation.
Mm-hmm.
Dylan Jones. But yeah, the Predator catches up to Dutch, Poncho, and Anna. He blasts Poncho in the face, even though I don't know like why he would shoot poor Poncho, who's injured and mm-hmm. not a threat. But he's like, but the woman can run. Let the woman get. She needs to get to the chopper.
Mm-hmm. Get to the chopper.
Dutch barely makes it out of alive. He falls into a river. He falls down a waterfall. He kind of gets muddy.
He has a whole thing.
He gets muddied and the Predator falls. I really like the shot where he's like on the shore and you see the Predator fall.
There's like a moment of relief.
Yeah. You're like, oh, he got away. But then the water splashes like, oh no, that invisible monster's still behind me.
And he stands up and the water's like shorting out his invisibility thing.
Mm-hmm. But it can't see Arnold because he's covered in mud. And that's when you realize, oh, he sees heat. So I'm going to put this mud on me and I'm going to be cold. be a cold boy.
I can't see you. Where you at?
I know you came down here.
So now Dutch is going to, he's going to, you know, he's going to go all medieval on this dude. He's going to set up traps. He's going to put on the mud. He's going to trick the predator in. He's going to lure him to his traps and hopefully he's going to kill him.
I love the part where he's doing like a, I forget what the exercise is called, but it's basically like a row. It's a row move, but he's lifting like a 700 pound tree log, with his bare hands and the rope that he fastened. And then he's holding it up with the little twig.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
And you know, it's physics.
It's a strong ass twig.
But the predator comes, he tries to find him. He realizes real quickly that somehow this guy is eluding his heat vision. He gets angry and just starts shooting his plasma.
Because he's a man. He shoots guns the same way. Fuck it. Just fire everything into the general vicinity.
The shoot at the forest. And those are some of my favorite shots of the movie, is the predator on that little bridge with like the forest exploding and you see his silhouette. Like,
yeah,
that's a cool shot.
And hold on. Dutch is a fucking Fletcher.
He's a Fletcher?
He made a bow and arrow.
That's right, he did.
And fucking built that.
It was a bow and arrow
in like an hour.
Like explodey bows.
Well, he put some rescue grenades on the tip of the arrows.
I'm about to rescue this tree. Boom. That's the sound of freedom. You're welcome. I'm going to rescue you from life.
But eventually the predator kind of gets in this, he has Dutch dead to rights, even though Dutch thinks he has him a couple times in the traps he set. Or am I getting ahead of myself? Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. At one point, the predator decides like, I'm going to take off my mask. I'm going to fight.
He goes mano a mano. I like that.
We're going to settle this in old 50 cuffs.
After he, and this is where he's not a bitch, right? Because he's not using all of his tools and invisibility and stuff like that. Well, his invisibility is broke. But yeah, he realizes that Dutch has given him a run for his money. And this is like a potential equal, mm-hmm. or at least the closest thing that he's going to find on this planet. So I want to fight him with just my stabby fork.
Mm-hmm. My wrist fork. And he takes off the helmet and we get that beautiful line from Arnold Schwarzenegger.
The fuck are you?
You ugly motherfucker. some more chase ensues. Arnold kind of goes into his little trappy nook. And the predator starts to go into him and he's like, oh, I see these knives. I see what you're doing, buddy. I'm falling for that trick. I'm going to go around here.
Wait a second.
Hold up.
There's a lot of sharp sticks in here. Hey, Dutch, just level with me.
Come on. Jimmy.
No.
Come on.
No, hold up.
Please.
I would, but however, there's a bunch of sharp sticks up here.
Don't mind those.
I know what I'm going to do.
Come on.
I'm going to go around here.
No.
And then he just walks 3 feet and he's like, hello.
And then
I'll see you.
And then Dutch is like, haha, motherfucker. And
I actually like that plot twist where you think he's avoided the trap and then he uses the counterweight of the trap to kill him with that instead. Mm-hmm. It's cool.
Yeah. Good on Arnold. But then the predator has one last trick up his sleeve. He has set some sort of
electricity bomb thing.
Electricity self-destruct bomb. And luckily, the wrist gauntlet has similar numeric. Yes. Timer like
the same uh-oh noise and on their planet
boop,
for
boop, 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 boop.
That don't sound good.
Wait. He's got a rescue grenade in there. He's trying to rescue me.
Oh no. Get to the chopper.
How does the chopper still waiting on him for no reason too?
Was it waiting on him or was it just trying to fly away? And then they just saw a fucking nuclear bomb.
Why would they turn around for that? Oh, he's fine.
Let's see. Oh, it looks like Dutch is rescuing again.
Well, yeah, I mean, he kills the predator and it's him and Anna. And I assume Anna lives a nice, long, happy life getting tortured by the CIA and everybody's happy.
Yeah, everyone, especially by that fucking Morty general.
Tell us what else you know.
If you don't, we'll make you watch all 6 seasons of Lost
in 720p.
Did you know the helicopter pilot at the end is the Predator?
Oh, it's
that's the actor.
Peter Cullen? No, that's the voice.
No, that's Peter Cullen's the voice. No, the guy who's actually in the suit, he's like the 8-7 foot tall dude that's in that suit. He has like 3 names. It's like bump 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 is his name.
Kevin Peter Hall.
Yes. The
pump, pump, pump.
The pilot at the end of the movie is him. Like, they were like, we need to get him an on-screen role to thank him for wearing that fucking suit in the middle
jungle.
The jungle for so many days. But he's also Harry from Harry and the Hendersons.
Really?
Yeah, same guy.
I had forgotten about that movie. The eyebrows on that guy.
Mm-hmm. Well, unfortunately, he passed away, I think, not too long after Predator 2, because Predator 2 came out in like 92, I think. And then he passed away, I think, in 93, unfortunately. Mm. So RIP that guy. But that is the end of Predator.
The Predator.
The Predator.
Well, we had a gas. We hope you guys did too. Lots of quotable lines.
Did you like the Full House end credits where it was like all the actors looking into the camera and smiling?
Yeah.
You could put everywhere you look. And it's like,
it's a hot
Shane Black. Like, oh, hi.
Somebody. Yeah. It was the 80s were a different time.
But
man.
Of course, Arnold doesn't get the goofy look. It's just him like whipping his head around, like, what is that? Freedom?
He said, freedom?
But yep, Predator.
I had a great time with it. It was fun to visit it. So stay tuned. In a couple of days, you'll get our coverage of Prey, which dropped on Hulu on Friday. Did not get a theatrical release because I think it's some kind of 20th Century Fox deal when Disney bought that studio.
Stuff, yeah.
If they put it in theaters, they would have to release it on HBO Max, I think, or something.
Right.
Which is unfortunate because Prey is a beautiful movie that I think would have done really, really well in theaters. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad it's getting the high praise that it's getting. But the original Predator is a much beloved movie that is loved, you know, worldwide. And I think even though it's like so obviously masculine and campy and goofy, like people of all ages and stuff and worldviews just love it just because mm-hmm. You know,
it's silly. It's fun. It's
well, and the concept itself is so strong. And like Alex said, like I at the top of the show, I said, you know, it really is miraculous in the sense that it's able to transition seamlessly between two genres. Right. And like From Dusk Till Dawn does the same thing, but not seamlessly. It's like very apparent that they use two different directors to pull that off in that movie. But this is just like sneakily, oh, it's a horror movie, survival horror now, you know? Mm-hmm. So really cool. Really cool. It goes straight from fucking, you know, Die Hard to The Thing, you know, some John Carpenter shit at the end. So
yeah,
really cool. Had a good time. I hope you guys had a good time as well. Again, I don't sleep much anymore. I'm sorry if I'm not quite on my A game, but I just couldn't stay away from the show any longer.
Dude, you crush it. You came up with a voice for the Predator that I love. I'm never going to watch a Predator movie now without hearing that dude. Like, hey,
I think it's pretty sad that I died. However, hear me out.
Yes.
It's neat that somehow I don't die, you know?
Can I just say, Mr. Predator, I love your hair.
Thank you. It's actually, it's a wig.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. But anyway, I be peacocking, you know?
you be peacocking a lot, my friend.
Because if you're killing and you ain't peacocking, it's not as cool.
You know what? You're right. You're right.
That's all the time we have for right now. My name is Chris.
I'm Steve.
We miss Andy. This is Streaming Things. Happy streaming.
Hello, everybody. It's Steve again. I am currently deconstructing my apartment in order to make the new studio that we're going to be having here shortly. And because of that, my computer and recording equipment is kind of all over the place. And I unfortunately didn't have the list of patrons in front of me while I had it all set up to record properly. So that is why you are hearing me merely reading this on my phone. So apologies for that. But I still wanted to make sure that our patrons get their shout out. So without further ado, we're going to do a quick and dirty one right here, right now. I want to thank A. Wells, Aaron B., Aaron K., Aaron L., AA Aaron A., Adam C., Adam H., Adam R., Aiden, Allison, Amanda, Andre, Andrew G., Andrew P., Andy, Annalise, Annie, RK Shenanigans, Ariana, Arcadia, Double R, Aaron A, Ashley Powers. Let's thank Barb, Brandon, Brianna, Brenda, Brett, Brittany, thank you, Cake, Caleb, Carlo, Carmelita, KCH, KCM, Katarina, Charlotte, Chloe, Chris, Cindy, Clay, Cody, Cynthia, thank you guys so much. Thank you, Damien, Danielle, David, DC Hart, Debbie. Thank you, E. Lopez. Thank you, Elizabeth, Enza, Erica, Irvin, Gavin, Georgia, Hannah, Heath, Irene. Thank you, Jadinklage, Jocelyn, Jacob, Jade, Jake, James, Jared, Jeanette, Jen, Jenna, Jenny, Jennifer, Jess, Jesse. I hope that's Jesse and not just Jess. It's one of those Jessies with a J-E-S-S-E. Thank you, Jesse. Whoever you are, let me know which one it is. Thank you, Jessica, Jillian B, Jillian L, Jimmy, Joel A, Joel D. Thank you to both John M's. There's two of them. Thank you, John T, John R, Jordan, Judy, Julia, Jungle, Kalisha, Candace, Kate, Katharina, Katie B, Katie M, Kayla, Carrie, Kevin, Kiki, Kimberly, Kristen, Kyle. Thank you guys so much. Thank you, Lady Pris, Lauren, Lee, Lisa, Max Squared, Marcelina, Marcus, Maria, Matt, Melina, Melissa, Mels, Michael, Michelle, Mike, Mindy, MJ, Manuk, what? Monique? That wasn't a name that I just said. Thank you, Monique. Thank you, Nate, Neil, Nick, Nicole C. Thank you, other Nicole C. There's two Nicole C's. Thank you, Orion, Paula, Patty, Phil, Philip, Rachel, Rebecca, Reese, the Reed family, Rose, Ryan, Samantha, Sandra A, Sarah F, Sarah P, Savannah, Sean, Sean C, Sergio, Shannon, Shay, Shep, Stacy, Steph, Stephanie, Stephen the Fifth, Suzanne, Sydney, Tamara, Tara, Teresa, the Alex G, Tommy, Thomas J, Thomas V, Thumbs, Toby, Tori, Trisha, Tyler, Will B, Will N, Yolanda, and Zach. Thank you guys so much for everything you do. We literally couldn't do this without you guys, and expect a lot of cool content coming down the pipeline very soon, this month, I imagine. You're definitely going to get a new recording studio out of us here shortly, as I sit in the middle of my second guest bedroom with all shit lying on the floor and my wiener dogs just judging the hell out of me. But thank you guys so much. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you Wednesday.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.